Hey, what's happening? Good morning. I'm glad you're here today. I'm especially excited for those who have chose to join us today. This is a choice you make for you to be here with us, and we are so thankful for that. My name is Kevin Sprinkle. I am going to be the new pastor for the North Kokomo campus. We're launching this fall, and I want to say welcome. Welcome those who are in this room. Welcome those who are watching online, and I'm just really ready to share this with you because we're starting a new sermon series. The sermon series is called Out of My Mind, Thinking Like Christ. Out of my mind. When we think about the term out of my mind, when we say someone's out of their mind, it's generally not a positive thing. It's generally not a positive thing. About a week and a half ago, I was riding my motorcycle back from Florida. And when we do, we were riding down on the interstate, and we're weaving in and out, and we're driving in through traffic at or below the posted speed limit. So we're driving, and all of a sudden it's raining on us, and as we're driving, it's raining, and I'm sure a lot of people were thinking, these guys are out of their minds. And when they thought that, they weren't thinking that in a positive way. I remember another time when I was a kid, I said a word that I shouldn't say. And back in the old days, when your mom heard you say a word you shouldn't say, she put a bar of soap in my mouth, and worse, my mouth out with soap. We were in the bathroom, so after she did, she turned and left, and as she did, I spit down in the sink, and I said, man, she is out of her mind. Well, she hadn't left the room. She was behind me. She turned around, grabbed me, and put the soap back in my mouth. Neither time were those things said with the intention of them being a positive thing. They were both negative things, but today, we're going to talk about being out of our mind in a positive way, in a good way. In Philippians 2:5, it said, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Let the same mind that be in you. Let the mind that was in Jesus, let that be in you. Let have that same thinking. We're talking about being out of our minds and into the minds of Jesus. Basically, to think like Jesus thinks. You know, a few years back, it became popular to wear a bracelet and things that said WWJD. What would Jesus do? Well, today I'm talking about TLJT, think like Jesus thinks. If you guys want to get a bracelet or something like that with that on it, you can just send me $2 for my royalties. I don't know if I actually invented that or not. But anyway, we're asking to think like Jesus thinks because when your thinking changes, your dues change. When your thinking changes, your dues change. If you're a teacher or really into grammar, you're thinking dues change. That doesn't make any sense. Well, What I'm saying is, when your dues change, when we think like Jesus, and we do like Jesus, more likely, we're likely to have our dues change. Today we're going to focus about how we think about people, out of our minds into the mind of Christ, and how we think about people. You know, at Crossroads Church, one of our core values is all people matter. We say that. We say all people matter. When we say that, do we act like all people matter? Do our actions match up with that? How do we even know that all people matter? What makes us think that all people matter? I believe the Bible tells us clearly that all people matter. One of the most famous verses in the Bible is John 3:16. It says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. He said, for this is how God loves the world. That's all inclusive. When he says world, that means everybody. How could everyone not matter if God sent his son for everyone, that everyone believes in him? I think that being all inclusive, and the way this verse kind of talks about it, I think it shows us that the cross is the final authority. He sent his son for everyone. He sent his son to die for everyone. I think that clearly says that God had intended that all people matter. But I think part of the problem is that we think too much with our eyes. We think with our eyes too much. How we see things affects how we think, and that affects our actions. God kind of spoke to me recently and said, you can't hear someone's story with your eyes. You can't hear someone's story with your eyes. You know, years ago, I worked for my stepdad. My stepdad was Bud Kearns. He owned Bud Kearns Auto Sales. Some of you guys might have bought a car there. Originally, I worked here as a younger guy, and I washed cars. He gave me $1 a car, a buck a car to wash cars. One time he left for a short errand, and he came back. And when he came back, I said, "You owe me 30 bucks." He said, "30 bucks? I only have 15 cars here." I said, "Yeah, I washed each one of them twice." I did not get my 30 bucks. Sometimes when he would leave for longer periods of time, he would leave one of us boys kind of in charge of things, in charge of the lot. We became salespeople at that point. And if we were in charge like that, if we sold a car, he incentivized it. He would give us a little commission, pay us a little extra for it. Anybody that's in commission sales knows there's something you learn early on. It's called qualifying. Qualifying means when you see people and how you see them, you qualify who is most likely to make a purchase. Who's most likely to spend some money? I learned this early on because I wanted the extra money. So I learned to qualify people. One evening at the car lot, two cars came in at the same time. Both cars came driving in at the same time. The first car was a newer car, a late model car, shiny, very nice. When it parked, out got a man and a woman. They were dressed nice, and they headed straight for a nicer sports car. I thought, oh, yeah, I'm qualifying. The second car that came in wasn't that nice. In today's vernacular, we would call it a hoopty. In the old days, we would say a jalopy. It comes squeaking and kind of creaking as it came in. It was two-tone. It was green and rust. There were some hubcaps missing. Maybe one of the tires might even had one of the little spare tires on it. When it stopped, out stepped a man. The guy was a ginormous man. He was a ginormous big mountain of a man. He had bib overalls on. He had kind of a dingy t-shirt on. His wife stepped out, and she was dressed similar, and she looked really tired. I found out why when like a bunch of kids came out the back. There could have been 5 kids or 15 kids. They just piled out. One of those deals where they just kept coming. The people then headed for an older conversion van. I'm qualifying. Who's more likely by how I see them? Who's more likely to spend the money and buy a car? So I headed for the first couple. I headed for the ones who were looking at the sports car. I said, "Hey, my name's Kevin. How can I help you?" And the guy said, "We're just looking. We're just killing time." I said, "I can get some keys. You can test drive it." He said, "Dude, we can't afford nothing on this car lot." I was dejected. I walked back in. Actually, I went inside the office because it was air conditioning. I left the other family out there because, hey, they weren't going to be able to afford anything. Pretty soon, as I'm sitting in the car lot, the other couple come in. All their kids come piling in. The guy asked me, says, "Hey, how much for the van out there?" And I thought, man, we had written the number right across the windshield, $10,000. Sometimes we would kind of negotiate that a little bit, but hey, these guys aren't going to buy anything. So I said, $10,000. The guy looks at his wife and looks back at me and says, "Would you take $9,500? "Sure, sure, buddy. If you can come up with $9,500, there's no way it's going to happen anyway." The guy reaches in his pocket of his bib overalls, pulls out this humongous wad of cash, snaps off 95 $100 bills. He says, "I own my own business. I've been saving my money so I can buy a better vehicle for my family." Man, I had qualified him. I was wrong. My eyes didn't hear their story. My eyes didn't hear my story. So today you're sitting there thinking, "Come on, Kevin, I don't do that. I don't judge people by how they look. I don't let how their appearance affect me." You're thinking, "Man, I don't do that." Good, I hope you don't. But how many today so far have not been able to focus on my story, haven't been able to focus on what I'm saying because all you can think about is what's up with that hat? Turn to your neighbor and say, "What's up with that hat?" Pastor Chris said I had to do that at least once during the message. What's up with that hat? See, you didn't really even judge me, but you were also distracted by that because what you were seeing distracted you. What you saw, even me on stage at church, you were still distracted a little bit. It kept you from focusing on who I really am. If all people matter, then why do we let how they look affect how we think about them? Well, let me tell you, I believe that we all have the same story. I believe we really and truly all have the same story. You know, it's really easy to sit here in this beautiful church and say our stories are different from their stories. We think our stories are so far different from their stories because out there, their stories are of addiction, of moral failure. Their stories are of sin. Their stories are of hurt. It's not our stories. I got to tell you, I'm pretty sure people in this room have those same stories. For some, the details are quite a bit uglier, but the stories are very much the same. You may think everybody here, because we're at church, have it all together. We don't. We think that all the addicts are out there, but there are addicts in this room today. There are addicts in your row right here today. We have the same story. Our stories are similar, but the blanks are different. I want to try something. So when we put this up here, everywhere is a blank. I want you to say your own name. Say this to yourself. I'm going to read it out loud, but say it to yourself. Wherever the blank is, say your own name like this. Kevin was created to be in a relationship with God. Because of sin, Kevin was separated from God, but God kept pursuing Kevin because he loved Kevin and Kevin mattered. God sent Jesus to redeem Kevin so that Kevin could reconnect with God and spend eternity with him. Does that sound familiar? When you say it with your own name, does that sound like your story at all? That's my story. You know, there was a point in my life years ago when I really began to realize that we are so much more the same than we are different. Like 10 or 15 years ago, a friend of mine called me throughout the week and he said, "What are you doing on Saturday night?" I don't know, probably not much going on. He said, "My daughter's playing in a band at a nightclub in Indianapolis. I'd like you to go with me." I hadn't been to a nightclub or a bar in a lot of years at that point. I was a non-drinker, but this guy was my friend, and his daughter was really cool. So I said I'd go. He came by to pick me up in his minivan. We had to stop and get coffee on the way because we weren't sure we could stay awake long enough to hear this band. We pull into the parking lot of this nightclub. And as we got out of the car, a woman walked past. And my friend said, "Man, that's the biggest woman I've ever seen in my entire life. She's built like an NFL tight end." And I said, "That ain't no woman." People are dressed all around us quite a bit differently than what we were dressed. And my friend said, "What are we going to do?" And I said, "Well, I'm fixing to help you earn that Father of the Year coffee mug that you carry around. Because we're going in there for your daughter." We went in, and as I looked around, almost everything in there was different from my lifestyle. People were dressed very, very different. People were drinking, some heavily. The language they used was very, very different. Even the music was different. The band was great, Neon Love Life. Shout out to Lindsay. But everybody in there that was so far different from my life. And at that point, God just reached down and he turned the volume knob on the world down. He just turned the knob down on the world. And I couldn't hear anything. It was silence. And God said to me, "There are people in this room that don't struggle with the same things that you do. There are people in this room who don't have the same sins in their life that you do. There are people in this room that have no problem honoring their father and mother, something that I felt like I struggled with at that time. There are people in this room who don't slander, who don't gossip. There are people in this room who love their neighbors well. There are people in this room who love Jesus." And man, my life changed because I thought, we're the same. We are the same. Our stories are the same. Just the details are a little different. We look different. We dress different. We have different lives, but we're so much the same. Let me tell you how I know that we have this commonality, how much the same we are. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we," again, all inclusive, We're still sinners. Christ died for us. We're the same because we're sinners. Our story is the same. We're waiting to be redeemed. Again, the cross is the common denominator. Let me tell you the Kevin paraphrase version of the Bible, what the story of the Bible is kind of condensed. God created us in his image to live in perfect unity with him. Because of sin, we were separated from God. And there's a struggle the rest of the Bible for us to be reconnected with him. Because his holiness and our sin are so far apart, he sends a Savior to stand in the gap. The Savior pursues us. He connects us with God again, and we spend eternity with him. That's the story of the Bible. Does that sound familiar? That was the same story that we just talked about when we put our own name in the blanks. Because that's my story, and that's your story. We're all here because we need a Savior. We have the same story. The greatest sinner and the least sinner all need a Savior. Romans 3:23 says, everyone, have you noticed something? These, all these verses are all inclusive. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. That's our commonality. That's our story. It's our commonality. You know, there's a quote that I've heard before that says, some people justify their sins by thanking God they're not as bad as their neighbors. They go, man, God, I know I got some stuff going on, but look at him. Man, he is really bad. And it justifies ours. But we're both so far from holiness. Let me give you an illustration of what that looks like. If we all went out in the parking lot right now and we paired up in twos, and I said, everybody's now take and face north. I think this is north. Is that north? Face north. I give each one of you a rock. And I say, we're both going to throw this rock toward the target, toward the goal. The target is Michigan. The first person winds up and throws the rock. The rock goes about 30 feet. And in your mind, you go, that wasn't very good. I can do better than that. You wind up when you throw your rock, it goes 90 feet or 120 feet. And in your mind, you go, see, I'm 3 times better than them. I'm 4 times better than them. And I go, hey, guys, you're both 90 miles from the target. Unless Jesus picks those rocks up and carries them and stands in that gap to Michigan, we're that far from holiness. Even in our best and someone else's worst, we're so far from the holiness of God. Everyone matters because we all have the same story. The story is we're all in the same boat. And the back of that boat says, in need of a Savior. And we're all in that same boat. Without a Savior, we're lost. See, I'm convinced that we need to see people as Jesus sees people. If all people matter, we need to see people as Jesus saw people. We're going to do a little virtual quiz here. Imagine in your minds that a big screen comes down from the back. I mean, we could do that if we wanted, but we're going to imagine it. A big screen comes down. And as I describe the picture on the screen, you're going to do a quiz. And the quiz goes, does this person matter? When I give the description, you think about the picture you see, and then you say, does this person matter? The first picture is a baby you've seen before. It might be a child or a grandchild or a niece or nephew. Does that person matter? Sure, that person matters. It's a baby. The next slide is a kid that is just has a great smile, a kid you don't know but has a great smile. Does that person matter? Yeah, it's a kid. They matter. The next picture we put up is someone sitting near you today. Does that person matter? Sure, they matter. They're in church. They got to matter, right? The next picture is a coworker who annoys you. Yeah, they matter. A little unsure of it now. The next person on the screen, the face, is of your least favorite relative. You guys all got a picture in your mind. Does that person matter? Yeah, well, yeah, they're blood. I mean, we are relatives. That person, yeah, they matter. The next picture is a homeless person. We think they're homeless because we're looking at them and they look like they're homeless. They've got raggedy clothes on. They're carrying a bag. It's probably got all their stuff in it. They look a little disheveled. They look like they smell stinky. Have we thought that before? That person looks like they're stinky. We think that. Does that person matter? Well, they matter. The next person is a person that looks like a prostitute. Do they matter? Well, the next person on the screen is a face that's been tattooed all over their whole face. They've got big earplugs in their ears. Their teeth are bad, and they're flipping you off. Do they matter? It's a little tougher. We're going to change it up a little bit. We're going to say, Jesus, sit down here in the same seats. Sit right here. We're going to do a slideshow with Jesus and say, Jesus, here's the quiz. Do these people matter? The first picture is a picture of a third world baby. Does that baby matter? Jesus says, yes. The next picture is a kid with a handicap. Does that person matter? He says, yes. The next picture is someone sitting next to you in the pew today. Does that person matter? He said, they matter. The next picture up for Jesus is your least favorite relative. Do they matter? He says, absolutely, they matter. The next picture is a person with leprosy, a leper. I've seen leprosy firsthand. It's hard to look at. Fingers fall off and noses are deformed and things are, it's really tough to be around. I see, Jesus, does that person matter? He says, they matter. Next is a prostitute. They matter. Yes, they matter. Next is a tax collector. Do they matter? He says, yes, they matter. Next is the men that came to arrest him. Do they matter? He says, they matter. Next is the ones that came to execute him. Do they matter? He says, they matter. The next picture is the thieves that hung on the cross beside him. We said, Jesus, do they matter? He says, they matter. And the last picture we show them is a picture of you. Do they matter? Jesus says, they matter the most. They matter the most to me. If all people matter, everyone matters, then you matter. You got to believe that. You got to believe that you matter. If everyone matters and we say all people matter, that includes you. You matter. You matter to God and you matter on this earth. I think part of the reason people can't get their minds around the fact that everyone matters is because they don't feel like they matter. How can everyone else matter when I don't matter? When my life doesn't matter? Jesus knows you're going to think this, and he addressed this in Matthew 18:12. He tells this story. He says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hill and go to search for the one that's lost? Everyone matters because each one of us is the one that he left the 99 for. You are the one he pursues. You are the one that he cares about. You are the one that he leaves the 99 to find because you matter. Your life matters. And when you believe that, you will believe that everyone else matters too. Why are we even talking about this? We know that. We believe everyone matters. Well, our mission at Crossroads Church is to meet people right where they are and help them take their next step toward Jesus. We say that all people matter. And let me tell you, that can't be a catchphrase. It can't be a hashtag. It can't be a t-shirt. If you truly believe this, you'll walk it out. That's what you'll do. You'll walk it out. You'll walk it every day. If you believe this, you'll prove it. Imagine if we all had t-shirts, if Kevin passed out t-shirts and it said, everyone matters. And you wore these all next week. People saw that t-shirt. Would your actions match up with that shirt that you wear? Would you need a t-shirt? Do you already do that? I know a lot of you already do. How do we walk that out? See, we're launching a new campus this fall. We're launching it based on the same idea that this church was founded on, that people matter to God and they should matter to us. You are here today because you matter to someone else. You are here today because you mattered for someone else to invite you. You mattered for someone else to present the gospel. You mattered for someone else to come alongside you and guide you and help you take that next step toward Christ. That's why you're here. So here we are, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe inside this church. But what about all those who are outside? The ones who haven't been made to feel like they matter enough to be rescued. What about them? What about the ones in the areas downtown, the areas in the north end of Kokomo? What about the ones who you work with? What about the ones you live next door to? What about your family members? Who makes them feel like they matter? What about those addicted, brokenhearted, beat down, and hurting? Who makes them feel like they matter? Because they matter to Jesus, he addressed that specifically in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. Let me read this to you. He said, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the earth. God blesses those who hunger for and thirst for justice. They will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. He knows the kind of people that matter, and he addresses that. It's us. So now we think, okay, I'm with you, Kevin. I believe it. All people matter. What can I do about this? I'm going to suggest two things you can do about it today. The first thing is dream big. The first thing is dream big. Now, I'm not talking about the motivational speaker, TV evangelist, dream big, where all they talk about is things that are for you personally, for you to dream big and for things in your life to become better, like more money, more cars, more things, more accolades. Not that kind of dream big. What I'm talking about is kingdom big. Kingdom dreaming big. The kind of dreaming that sees God's plan fulfilled. Revelation 7:9 big. Let me read this to you. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. That's a big dream. If everyone matters, every person, every tribe, every nation, every language, everybody is invited to this when they accept Jesus Christ, when they receive the gospel. If they're all invited, how can they not matter? We got to dream big for that day. And dreaming big for that day means that we think big. We dream big about how we can help accomplish this. The second thing we can do is we can think small. Dream big, but think small. Think about small opportunities where you personally can make people know they matter. Think small about personal relationships and connections. Think small about one-on-one times where you can really make someone feel like they matter so that you can help them take their next steps toward Christ. Dream big and think small. You think, what's that look like, Kevin? That seems contradictive. It seems two different things. Dream big and think small. It seems so different. Let me tell you what it looks like. I was in Kenya a few years ago in a town called Kisumu. I was walking through the town by myself in the afternoon eating street food. I love to walk around and go to all the different vendors and eat street food. I heard behind some of the shops there was some music playing. I sneaked behind the shops, and there was a large open field. In that field, there was a stage set up, and there was a band playing. I stood and watched a little bit. Afterwards, the band quit. A guy came on, and he started preaching. I could tell he was preaching. He was preaching in Swahili, but I could tell he was preaching because of his style and his pace of his preaching. I didn't really know what he was saying. As I stood there, a young Kenyan man slipped up beside me and stepped beside me. He said, "Do you speak Swahili?" I said, "Hapana." He laughed, and I laughed because that means no. I said, I don't speak very much. I know a little bit. I don't speak very much Swahili. He said, shall I interpret for you? He stood there and interpreted the whole message word for word, right beside me, the whole message. When it was finished, he said, my name's David. I said, hi, I'm Kevin. He said, Kevin, do you know Jesus? I said, I do. He said, good, praise the Lord. It was so nice to meet you, Kevin. And he walked away. That's what it looks like to dream big, Revelation 7, 9 dreams, and to think small. David made me feel like I mattered. He made me feel like I was important. He wanted to make sure I was going to be in that vast crowd. He stepped outside of his culture. He stepped outside of his race. He stepped outside of his comfort. He stepped outside of his schedule to make me feel like I mattered. And he made sure that I was connected to Jesus. How we see people is how we'll think about them. We need to think like Jesus. We need to get out of our minds and into the mind of Jesus. When I think about the mind of Jesus, I think about this. We don't need better glasses. We need better stethoscopes. We need to hear the heartbeats. We need to hear the stories. Don't see the hat. Hear the heart. Think like Jesus. Do like Jesus. Make people feel like they matter. Hear their story. Help them take the next step toward Christ. I'm going to close with thinking about how Jesus would be today and what he would say today. I think about the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. If Jesus was here today, how would he make everyone feel like they mattered in the same way? Would he say it a little differently? Here's how I think Jesus would say it today. Blessed are the worn out. They will find peace. Blessed are the single moms. They'll find unity. Blessed are the lonely. They'll find a friend. Blessed are the struggling. They'll find a way. Blessed are the hurting. They'll be comforted. Blessed are the addicted. They'll be fulfilled. Blessed are the disabled. They'll be restored. Blessed are the homeless. They'll find a place. Blessed are the poor. They will be provided for. And blessed are you, because you matter the most. Let's think today about how we can make people matter. Let's think today how we can make a difference in someone's life by taking the time to dream big and to think small and make them feel like they matter the same way someone made us feel like we matter.